The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. We've got a slightly American feel to this week's podcast chat with me and Roy in a minute. And later, more excellent radio moments with David Lloyd, including memories of Radio North Sea International 50 years ago this week. A look back at the history of test transmissions as another station comes on air this week in history. We've got that big move to Virgin from the BBC for Chris Evans this time last year. And the arrival of Radio 4th in Edinburgh.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Macassar. But first, Radio Today's founder and editor Roy Martin is here. Hello, it's nice to see you, Roy.
Hello, we're in the flesh, we're together, we're live.
And where are we? Can you tell me?
I have no idea. We're in a pub. Suffolk or Norfolk, one of those.
Possibly, somewhere on the Suffolk-Norfolk border. Alan Partridge country. And with us in the pub, we've got Ricky Lee here from Air. And also owner of a radio station in upstate New York. What are you doing in Suffolk and Norfolk border?
I have no idea.
You too, hey?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here. Regular listener, first time guest.
This is very true. I think I'm your number one listener, right, of your podcast. Must be. I subscribe and listen.
You're a great fan. And can I say at this point, we have a room full of radio people as well. So give us a cheer. And a couple of videos being recorded right now as well. So we'll move on and try and ignore those.
Last week, Roy, we were talking about BBC local radio imaging and AM transmitter switch-offs. And we've got more AM transmitter switch-offs announced this week as well. TalkSport been given the go-ahead from Ofcom to turn off 7 of them. Only 2 people responded to the Ofcom consultation, both against. But Inverness, Cornwall, Aberdeen, Londonderry, Devon, Plymouth, all going to switch off AM. They've obviously switched off North Sound 2 on AM, and Absolute Radio turned off some AM.
Yeah, Absolute Radio turned off, 12 transmitters a couple of years ago.
But AM in America is still a big thing. Ricky's obviously with us. You've just bought another AM transmitter for your station.
Correct, yes.
But we're turning them off. Why do you want to turn them off?
Well, AM is still quite a big thing in rural areas in the US. But AM is going through a little bit of a change in America over the past 5 years or so. There's been an initiative by the FCC, which is the equivalent of Ofcom in the USA, to revitalize AM. Now, this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but their decision to revitalize AM was to give the AM stations an FM signal. So... yeah, that kind of made sense. So the radio station that we have just bought is WABY in Albany, New York, which is the capital of New York State. And that comes with an unbuilt FM frequency that we're going to build and turn on. So primarily the FM signal was the interest. However, the FCC have also just announced rulemaking that will potentially kicking later this year to allow what is known as HD radio on AM. So there is a radio station in Washington, D.C. that's been doing a trial on this. It's called WWFD. And it basically is you turn your dial to the frequency. It's silent, which is slightly awkward because scanning through the AM dial won't pick up the radio station. So you have to tune directly to the frequency. And then after a few seconds, it buffs and HD radio comes in. So you can get, there's enough data there to do RDS and clever stuff like that. The sound quality, obviously, is immensely better than AM. It almost sounds like a AAC plus DAB station here in the UK.
Cool. That sounds all really interesting. Roy, did you notice?
What?
All through that, he doesn't sound like he's from South Yorkshire anymore.
Well, my next line was going to be, you're sounding more American every time we see you.
How long have you been there now? Try to blend in. Five years. Yeah, it's crazy fast how time has gone, yeah.
And I don't think have we ever spoke to you on this podcast? Have you ever been on before? Are you actually the first time?
I think this is my first time, yeah, it is.
So we've never said to you, tell us about buying a radio station in America. What the hell is going on there?
God. I know from being a regular listener that you do not have enough time for me to answer that question fully. So this all stemmed actually from back in the UK. When I was here, I always envisioned that my career in radio would take me to ownership. That was always my goal from I guess about 2007, 2008. And there was a couple of opportunities that kind of came and went and were missed opportunities. So I always kind of had this desire and kind of need to complete that. So when I was over in the States, I launched Classic Hits Radio in the UK on the Mini Mux in Norwich, which that is now on the Bristol Mux, Mini Mux in Bristol. It's run by Celador. And it still didn't feel real because I couldn't listen to it. So I looked at ownership in America, and at the time it was completely illegal for anyone that was foreign to own any more than 40% of a radio station. And then actually an air client of ours, Richard Burns and his wife Sharon, they petitioned the FCC for foreign ownership and won 100% of their business. Their business partner was retiring and they didn't want to sell half of their business. So I looked at it and thought, do you know what? I'm going to give this a go. I've got nothing to lose. So my wife and I applied. We found the radio station that we wanted to buy. It was a very, very lengthy process and a costly process to do it. There is a team at the FCC called Team Telecom, which sounds wonderful, but actually consists of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Defense, and they thoroughly have to perform background checks on my wife and I to make sure that we are not a threat to the United States. And I guess, cutting a story short, we aren't.
Useful to know.
So we got approved. We bought the radio station. And now that we've been approved, as long as our structure doesn't change, you know, I can personally, as an individual, own 50%. And so can my wife. And as long as that stays the same, then we're allowed to buy any other radio station or media outlet because of that approval. So it was quite exciting to do it, and it's been quite rewarding. It's nice to be back in a radio station after being theoretically a software sales guy for 10 years.
And it's quite a kind of small station in a rural area.
It really is, yeah. So Saratoga Springs is where our main broadcast studios are, and it's a very, very small town. So it's something the size of, you know, Mansfield is where I'm originally from, so it's a little bit smaller than Mansfield. It's very close to a major city, so it is a little bit out, but we're doing proper local radio. We're doing ILR stuff, and it's going really, really well, and yeah, it's fun.
And as you are an Englishman in New York, quite literally, and there's been a lot of talk of American cutbacks in the last 7 days or so, tell us what you know about that.
Wow. Well, iHeart have done some reshuffling, and employment laws are a lot more brutal, I guess, in America than they are here. And I guess overnight, fired over 1,000 people, and from all rural areas. And it very much reminds me of what Global and Bauer and other people have done, like Celador and people in the UK, where they've just refocused their efforts. And actually, surprisingly, I've always kind of thought to myself, why do they have 100 CHR program directors? Surely, I know regional music's changed depending on where you are in the States, but that seems like a waste of resource. And why haven't they got a regional traffic center where someone does all of the commercials and everything? And that's pretty much what they've done, but they've also downsized a lot of local content. And so drastically, I think in the UK, where people have had to go through redundancy processes and wait for contracts, that's just not happened. And these guys have literally walked into work on a Monday morning and had to leave, and that's it. And it's really tough because now they have to find alternative employment. And although there are plenty of employment opportunities in America, it's not the same as just upping sticks from Sheffield and moving to Reading for a gig. You know, this is someone that could be moving from Nebraska to Florida. And when you've got family and mortgages and kids in school. That's got to be tough, right?
And we've seen a bit of a backlash here to, you know, local programs being replaced with network programs. But in the States, it's fairly commonplace. The listeners bothered whether the program they're listening to comes from their state or whether it's Elvis Duran in the morning, because it's great.
I think in some areas they do, but the majority, they don't, because it's been done for so long. Like, network radio has been a thing since the 70s and 80s in America. So they're used to having someone do the overnight shift that's from a Westwood One network or something like that. So I think the syndication part of it has been around long enough for people not to care. However, there has been like very similar situations in the UK where morning shows and breakfast shows and afternoon drive shows have been on the air for 20 plus years, and then all of a sudden, they're gone, like overnight, and that change is obviously shocking to a listener, and can also be shocking for advertisers as well, who weren't expecting it.
So back here, some changes going on at local radio at the moment. We talked about the new jingles last week. They've appeared on your station this week, Roy, on BBC Radio Solo.
My station,
your local
I own
radio
it.
Station.
It's my radio station.
Well, you could be the director general. You could own it.
Well, that's another topic altogether. We haven't mentioned that yet, have we?
So Radio Solo's got these new jingles. They've got a new breakfast show and a new morning show as well this week.
Yeah, Pat Sissons, who's been hanging around there for a while and did mid-mornings, I think, on Spire. He's moving there to do Drive on Spire. He's going to mid-mornings on Solent. They've got a new breakfast show this week as well. And to top that off, they've got a bunch of new jingles as well. So I think they're the second. I've not heard any others launch the package already from Real World. So Leicester a couple of weeks ago and Solent. And they've gone for the sung jingle option. Good news, everybody. So have a listen to those. In fact, have we got a clip?
Let's play one.
The sound of the South.
Alan and Lou at breakfast. BBC Radio Solent.
Good morning. How are you doing? Welcome along then to the fresh new sound at breakfast.
Already sounding a little bit different. A great show lined up for you this morning.
You know what we're up to. What are you doing?
BBC
Radio Solent. On the BBC Sounds app, on your smart speaker,
play BBC Radio Solent,
and on your radio,
the sound of the South is
BBC Radio Solent.
It's 8 o'clock. I'm Suzanne Bamborough. Police.
So there you go. That is the new sound of Radio Solent. And I'm sure there'll be another 37 to follow.
Yeah. And maybe on CWR is coming back. So that's maybe going to get some CWR.
Yeah. Another story there. If they opt for the sung option, then I'm sure CWR for Coventry and Warwickshire Radio returning in the spring. So look forward to that.
So the Director General's going. He's announced he's going to leave in the summer. This is Lord Hall, Tony Hall, been at the BBC. As Director General for the last 7 years, and was there for, you know, best part of 30 years before he went off to the Opera House and came back. But contenders for the next Director General, you know, they've got people there already in senior roles. Tim Davey, running BBC Worldwide, was the acting DG just before Lord Hall. There's Bob Shannon, there's James Pennell, who runs the radio division. Probably a few internal candidates and some external ones as well.
Well, there's a lot of commercial radio people that are doing nothing these days, so you never know. It could be somebody from outside, but usually with the way the BBC works, it's going to be somebody from inside. Ricky Lee, who do you think is going to get the job?
I haven't applied, so
it's not going to be you then.
We've had the ARIA nominations out this week as well.
Is that the same as the ARIAs?
It's like the ARIAs, but it's for people from the north.
Oh, okay.
Where they used to be. So they're going to be on the 4th of March back in London. Greg James has been announced as the host. The tickets have just gone sale this week. All the nominations at radiotoday.co.uk. And of course, they've weighted it, so it's not all BBC heavy in every category.
Yeah, this is odd. So you've got every category has 50% roughly BBC, unless it's a commercial of the year award, then it's the BBC's nowhere to be seen for that one. But yeah, 50% BBC, 50% commercial, which doesn't really make much sense if you're the fourth best commercial radio entry for that category, because you don't get to be part of the six. You've got to give way to the three best BBC instead. Is that right? Is that the way they're working it, their methodology?
Yeah, I guess if you've got 20 fantastic BBC documentaries and three commercial ones in the that have put themselves forward, then the commercial ones are going to get shortlisted above some BBC ones that might have actually been better from a judging perspective.
I'm glad we've cleared that up. That's
I'm
good.
Sure it's all above board. Obviously, it's all published in advance, the same what they're going to do, and you know, we'll talk to Phil about the judging process probably as we get nearer the ARIAs or after the event itself.
Fantastic.
DAB in cars. We had some figures this week. 2.38 million new vehicles sold. 95% of new cars last year sold in the UK. DAB is standard. 64% of commercial vehicles. Now, 10 years ago, it was just 4% of cars had DAB in them. So we've come a long way in that 10 years. And I think credit due to Ford and the team at Digital Radio UK have been, I know, pushing a lot with the car industry to make that happen.
It's almost like they said to themselves 10 years ago, shit, we better do something about this, guys. And yeah, like you said, full credit, they have. And onwards and upwards for DAB.
We've both got DAB in our cars now, and it's transformed the way I listen to radio. I don't know about you.
I don't listen to DAB in the car.
No?
Nope. It's all streaming. It's all streaming. I can listen to my local radio station, but I listen to it on a stream because it's more reliable than DAB. There you go. I've said it.
But if you listen to Five Live on a stream, you'll be 2 minutes behind with the breaking news.
Well, that's fine. Usually am.
Cars in the States, Ricky. I know you've just bought a classic Land Rover, which presumably hasn't got DAB
cool.
in it.
No, but it does have FM, AM, medium wave and long wave, because it's one of those really, really old. And this is hilarious, actually, because it came from the UK, I can't listen to any AM station in it because all the channels are wrong. So all the frequencies and spacings are different between the UK and the US. So I can listen to like half of an AM station, if that's a thing. Yeah.
But most cars in the States, if you buy a new car in the States, it's got HD radio, it's got satellite radio in some of them.
Well, yeah. So pretty much all new cars have Sirius XM satellite. What I found interesting due to my travels and seeing air clients and hiring cars a lot is there are certain manufacturers that are backing away from fitting HD radio as standard, which I found slightly bizarre. But I think that is due to licensing costs more than anything. You still have to pay a license to have HD radio. You still have to pay a subscription for HD radio if you're an FM or AM broadcaster that wants to be part of it. And most cars have connectivity. You know, we're all chasing that spot on the dashboard now, you know. And likewise, Roy, I plug my phone in and listen via apps and stuff when I'm in the States. It just connects to the car, and it's just so much easier these days, isn't it?
It is. We've had a couple of presenter changes and things, and just in this week, Dave Kelly is going to be leaving Radio City after a good few years.
Yeah, and automatically people think, there you go, that's the start of Networking Breakfast, but it's his decision to leave, and he's going to the Cayman Islands, of all places, nice. Which is beautiful. And Leanne, his co-host, is staying on for another 2 years, so that kind of puts that rumour to bed that the Networking Breakfast, if she's just signed for 2 years. And of course, Joel Ross has just started in Preston doing Rock FM Breakfast. And also elsewhere in the world, we've got a new Heart Breakfast presenter.
Oh, Heart Breakfast.
In Dubai.
Okay.
Lorna Bancroft.
Ah, Lorna, who was on Heart in the Northwest with Joel.
That's right. She's just started at Heart Breakfast in Dubai. So good luck to her.
Fantastic. Is that your dog, Ricky, barking in the background?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, don't start on dogs,
no,
please.
No, well, this
don't
is the radio dog conversation. Dogs. We've had this before.
Yes.
Kate Lawler, Sarah Champion, Paddy O'Connell, the Darren from KLFM.
The list keeps growing.
There's you, there's me. We've all got the same kind of dog. It's a radio terrorist. Dog.
It is a radio dog thing, yeah.
It's a radio dog thing.
Sorry, I just fell asleep there.
Our clip of the week, you've got two contributors in your contacts book that got the same name. It was going to happen eventually. Radio 4's PM programme this week accidentally got the wrong guy to talk about their subject.
But also joining us from the US, Robert Shapiro, an American lawyer who, in 1995, was a member of the team of attorneys that successfully defended O.J. Simpson in what must be the most high-profile televised court case in legal history.
Let me say that I am Robert Shapiro, an advisor to Democratic presidents, not the lawyer. You called the wrong Robert Shapiro.
Oh, my goodness. What a mistake have we made.
but I can tell you that
you're obviously in our Rolodex, and we've got that yes. number. We've got that. But I'm surprised that we didn't pick that up in the pre-conversation. Do you
I'm
have
surprised
views?
Too. Yes. Well,
it's easily done. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you, Stu.
And thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, guys.
Nice
thank
to Ricky. See you. Safe trips back.
Thank you.
And happy listening. Are you going to listen back to this? Because I know you listen every week.
Yeah, I will, but I'll fast forward the bits that I'm in, I guess.
Where are you right now, Ricky?
I have no idea.
You're on a highway somewhere upstate.
Yeah, maybe. Or I might be on the flight back home, actually.
Yeah? On the podcast app?
Yeah, definitely.
Are we talking about Flying Places, the upcoming events?
We can do. We're going to Portugal.
Are we?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Is that the Radio Days Europe at the end of March in Lisbon?
He has a PA. He just gets in places he needs to be. He doesn't know where he is. Don't know which county he's in, which country
When you
he's
said
in.
Portugal, I thought you meant... What did I think you meant then?
Well, we're going to Lisbon. That's
Lisbon,
in Portugal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You skipped geography, did you?
Yeah, I did. I did history.
We'll see you at Radio Days, which is at the end of March. Before that, of course, the Arias.
Arias.
Which are going to be at the Palladium at the beginning of March, 4th of March. We will hopefully be there talking to some of the winners and stuff.
Yeah, I should have done geography because there's no future in history.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
It's 50 years this week since the first signs of what was to become the most dramatic of the offshore pirate stations.
Anyway, this is Radio North Sea International to get to the port of 186 metres, and this is our little theme tune. I think it's a lovely instrumental, isn't it? It's called Man of Action. Oh, I'm a man of action, you know. Careful while I flex me muscles. Oh, he's not asleep this time, or Johnny Scott's fainted, has he? He's not at 10 o'clock, don't forget. It's a rundown of programmes tomorrow on Radio North Sea. 6 to 8, it's Mr. All these programmes designed for your entertainment, so tune in to some of them, if not all of them. 16 minutes past 9 o'clock. From the Mebo 2, 4 miles off the coast of Holland. This is Radio North Sea International.
It later sailed to the English coast. Test transmissions from RNI, Radio North Sea International, and the first of those broadcast this week in 1970. The station, of course, was famously to be violently attacked twice and its output jammed by the governments of two countries. But the station, very popular at the time in the UK, which was desperate for back-to-back music. Test transmissions vary from station to station. Some, like Classic FM's, were very understated.
Classic FM's initial network of 11 transmitters provides coverage to most of the country and broadcasts in stereo on frequencies between 100 and 102 megahertz on the VHF FM waveband.
Followed by that wonderful bird song from Quentin Howard's garden. The commercial radio tests through the 70s and 80s were on behalf of the regulator, officially, until the programme contractor took over on launch day.
This is a test transmission from the Independent Broadcasting Authority. From transmitters at Trowell and Colwick Wood, we're broadcasting on 301 metres medium wave, that's 998 kHz, and on 96.2 MHz VHF. The VHF transmissions are in stereo. Radio Trent starts broadcasting to the Nottingham area on these wavelengths.
Radio City will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 365 days a year from Liverpool to more than 2 million people in the Greater Merseyside area. News, local, national and international, on the hour, every hour. Music from Eric Clapton to Crumhorns, from Wagner to Wings, and the pick of the local concerts from Pop to the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic.
Some tests, of course, enjoyed because they were an excuse for back-to-back music.
This is Atlantic 252, testing its new transmitters for regular broadcasts to begin soon. If you can hear us, give us a call on 0898-66600.
I remember as well, somebody wrote to the Times in the early days of Capital Radio in 73, saying, can't you go back to test transmissions? They were a lot better. Some tests are dramatic. Let's enjoy this one from the BBC this week in 1992.
on 95.4 FM in Slough, Windsor and Maidenhead, and 104.1 FM in Reading, Bracknell, Wokingham, Newbury and your town or village in West Berkshire. This is a test transmission for BBC Radio Berkshire. The new BBC local news and information service for the county of Berkshire is on air.
Radio Berkshire's tests, that station came on air this week 28 years ago.
The radio service for the whole of the county. Good morning and welcome, I'm Howard Hughes. You're listening to Berkshire Today. It's Tuesday, January the 21st, 1992, and the time is 6:30.
Dramatic stuff from BBC Radio Berkshire. It's 14 years since Christian O'Connell aired his first show at the original Virgin Radio. He was then the rebel who'd moved across from XFM. 12 years later, as a grown-up and a father, he announced his farewell.
To survive this long in the murky worlds of commercial radio and doing breakfast shows is incredible. And I've been really lucky that Absolute Radio have given me so much freedom to do the show my own way. And I always thought if I was ever to leave, because this is an amazing gig, there's nothing else that really excites me in this country that I would go to. They give Rich and I so much freedom, probably too much freedom. However, I've had an amazing opportunity that's come into my life for the last couple of months, and I know this must feel very sudden to you all this morning, and it's not my job to come here in the morning and be on a bum steer in the morning, but, you know, I've only told my mum at the weekend, so people in this building are only finding out right now, but I am going to be leaving. I always wondered what it'd be like to actually say those words, because I've been here for such a big part of my life. When I first came here 12 years ago, I feel like a different person. I feel like, especially the last couple of years, I've changed so much. So the first thing I want to say is, please don't be sad.
We were a bit sad too. Soon got over it though. Christian O'Connell opening his heart as he prepared for leaving Absolute this week in 2018 for success overseas. Across on the new Virgin, a fresh breakfast show this week last year.
Go Oasis, roll with it, BBC. Radio 2 is where we were.
Not there anymore.
But we wish them all the very best, all the BBs. There were loads of people outside when I arrived this morning, and they didn't recognise me, so I just walked in, and they've been still out there for since 4 o'clock for no reason whatsoever. So I came up to the 14th floor here, and somebody said, "Will you go back down and see them? Because they feel, well, they might get the sack, all of them." I said, "Of course they will, no problem. A few minutes to kill." And they said, "So how do you feel about going up against Zoe?" I says, "Look, the thing is, if you're any good, if anybody's any good at anything, there's room for everyone, okay? And it helps with the business, helps with the quality of the business." Zoe, thanks for your text message last night. It was very, very sweet of you. Always loved you, always will.
Oh, that's nice. Chris Evans beginning on the second Virgin this week in 2019. 45 years ago this month, commercial radio arrived in Edinburgh.
A dream is about to come true.
Hello there, this is Steve Hamilton on Radio 4, bringing you the Daybreak Show, right through till 9:30. We're sitting at the top of the dial on top of the world on 194 metres in the medium wave band, 96.8 VHF in super stereo. We'll be bringing you news, traffic, weather, community information, food prices, tips and hints, and our housewife of the day. The Daybreak Show, that's where the action is every morning of the week, and that's where the music is specially selected by you, for you. Like this one from our very own chart-topping group here in Scotland, Pilot.
Fourth on air this week in 1975, one of the few stations still with its original brand name to this day. So with Juice in Liverpool becoming Capital 4 years ago.
Liverpool's got a brand new music station.
Capital is coming to Liverpool.
The last official Navy lark on Radio 2 44 years ago.
Mr. Pertwee, I am not a dirty old devil. I'm a connoisseur.
Radio 1 announcing they'd poached JK and Joel from Key 16 years ago.
Is he still on the line? No, he's gone.
The first English programmes on Radio Luxembourg on 208 with Geoffrey Everett and Pete Murray 69 years ago.
The Applejacks will tell me when. The boys and girls who up until recently were students in Birmingham. Well, they've now made enough money to take over the school.
The final Saturday Club on Radio 2, 51 years ago.
Well, I don't know about you. I'd be quite happy to swing through another couple of hours, but we have only, unfortunately, got time left to play our most requested record. This week, it's John Layton's new one.
And the first trials of DAB using the Eureka system carried out from Crystal Palace 30 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you very much, David. And thanks to our guest, Ricky Lee, who was on with Roy and me earlier on the podcast from Air and from Saragota's Star Radio. All that's left for me to do is to remind you about Clean Feed. I know you were wondering where it was, weren't you? Surprise you with a script read in a different place. But thank you for staying to the end. If you've not tried out Clean Feed yet, please give it a go this week. It's great for doing OBs. It's great for doing interviews on your radio show or your podcast, and it's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connect in live quality audio just using your browser. You can even record what you're doing and who you're talking to within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to sign up, and you'll be in your first live interview or recording within minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. We'll be back next week with something else about the radio industry.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassio.